Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It's always a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God. I thank God for being God all by himself. I thank God for allowing us the opportunity to fellowship together in the Word of God. I thank God that he allows us to come week after week, month after month, year after year, as we found the Word of God together. And I thank God for each and every one of you who took time out of your busy schedule, because you are committed to the Word of God. And you love the Word of God. And that's why you call. And I thank you. As always, it's a time when the body of Christ come together, partakers of the household of faith, and our prayers that we be on one accord as I give information. But we realize that it's the Holy Spirit that gives the illumination of the truth of the Word of God. You see, the Holy Ghost allows us to receive what is given from the Word of God. And we pray that we accept it in the intent that it was written. God is speaking to us through his Word. Hallelujah. Many times there's many interpretations and many people have theories and theologians have decided what they want to accept as truth. But the Holy Ghost works with us, in us, and through us. And if we keep speaking God and his word with a pure heart, we will get the illumination by the Spirit of God, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, and we can grow in the things of God that is written in his word, and we could be better than we were. And I thank you. Tonight, our lesson is coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, and I sent out a notice. And there was an error because I said 1 Corinthians, but it is in 2 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, turn it to 2 Corinthians for the error. So if you went to 1 Corinthians and read, it's still the Word of God. Hallelujah. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 10, 2 through 5. And the title of the lesson is Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. And, you know, many times we don't always talk about Satan and look like Satan is being talked about less and less in the church. But I come to tell you tonight, he is real. Yes, he is. He is real. And at this time, I'm going to play a song, and it's called Sovereign. The only way we could trust God is to truly, fully understand the sovereignty of God. It lets us know he's in full control. He's everywhere at the same time, and he know all things. And when you know that about God, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what you might be going through, if you believe that God's going to work things out together for your good and you trust him, you could go on and face tomorrow and look at your problems, situations, and stand or either do the best you can with it and let God do the rest. God is sovereign. I'm going to play this song, and we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace. Be prayerful for our Bible study.
By what?
And when we truly understand the sovereignty of God, it'll bring us to places that we never thought we could go. It will give us peace that surpasses all understanding. It'll give us joy, unspeakable joy. It'll give us the ability to hold on till our change comes. It would assure us that help is always on the way for us. It'll assure us that no matter what is going on around us and through us, that God has control. Nothing is taking him by surprise, and he's everywhere at the same time. So at this time, Sister Pam, your mic is open, and you could bring us to the throne of grace.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. I thank you, Father God, tonight for life. Thank you, Lord, for our sister, our teacher, our prayer warrior, Minister Diane Adams. Continue to use her, O Lord, in ways that only you can. We thank you for our Bible study, O Lord, and I pray that you continue to bless our Bible study. We thank you for the fellowship on tonight. I pray that the words that are brought forth on tonight will be a comfort and a blessing to each and every one of us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And thank you, God.
Thank you so much, my sister.
You're welcome.
I pray that God continue to bless you real good for your faithfulness. Well, again, I'll say that the title of our lesson tonight is coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter verses 2 through 5. And the title of our lesson is Satan is a Liar. So I'm going to do a little background on Satan, because I don't really hear too much talk about Satan like I used to, even in the church houses. You know, many times they used to preach, teach fire and brimstone. I believe they had a desire to let you know that Satan was real. The more you could disregard Satan being real, you discarding his power. And even though it's limited, he has power. You see, Satan, you know, many people believe that Satan is just a silly abstract or a little red guy with horns who sat on your shoulder urging you to sin. But the Bible, however, gives us a clear portrait of who Satan is and how he affects our lives. Simply put, the Bible defines Satan as an angelical being who fell from his position in heaven due to sin and is now completely opposed to God, doing all that he can in his limited, and I use the word limited because you've got to realize Satan has power to influence. He has limited power to overthrow the things of God and his divine purpose, and I use the word limited. You see, Satan was created as a holy angel. Isaiah 14 and 12 possibly gives Satan the pre-fall name of Lucifer. If you didn't know, that's where that name Lucifer came from. And in the scripture it read, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did it weaken the nation?" Ezekiel described Satan as having been created as a cherubim, which is an angel, apparently the highest created angel, because the scripture describes how beautiful Satan was. God created him to be perfect in wisdom and beauty and spectacular and flawless, and gave him special capabilities in music and voice. Y'all know Satan was the choir director. Satan was the choir director. He became arrogant in his beauty and stature and decided he wanted to sit on a throne above that of God. He got the big head, y'all. In heaven, beautiful, with credentials, gifts, and yet it wasn't enough. You see, Satan's pride led him to his fall. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a naughty spirit before the fall. You see, because of his sin, God permanently removed Satan from his exalted position and his role. That's the way God has to do with some people, because of pride. They began to want to take the glory away from God, and God ain't going to share his glory with no one. They began to say, I did this, I did that, I am this, and I am that. You are nothing without God. You haven't achieved anything without God. And you can't do anything without God. God said the way he set up his master plan, that it would never have any way for any man to boast. So you know when you see someone boasting, you know they're on the wrong track. Everything we have, God did it. We was on death row going to hell in a handbasket. God sent his son because there was nothing we could do in and of ourselves to save ourselves. So don't get it twisted, because everything is by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, Revelation says he's an accuser, a tempter, and a deceiver. And his very name is adversary, or one who imposed. Another one of his titles is the devil, which means slanderer. The phrase that you often see, and a lot of people have problem with this, is the god of this world. Now, it's a liturgy. See, things like that, when you see it, you don't have to get so confused, because if it's a liturgy, it's not God. But when they say that about him, it's a little g, and he's called the god of this world. He's also called the prince of the power of the air, or the god of this age. It indicates that Satan is the major influencer on the ideals, opinions, goals, hopes, and views of majority of the people. Look at the world. It's evident. Come on, y'all. You see, his influence also encompasses the world's philosophies, education, even our churches today, and commerce. You see, the thoughts, ideas, and speculations of cults and false religions of the world under his control, and has spun from his lies and deception. Y'all know Jim Jones wasn't under the influence of the word of God. Many religions today are not under the influence of God, and I'm sure they believe what they believe is right. Because I've been asked all the time, how you know it, what you're talking about is right. but it's my belief. And I'm going to hold on to it. You see, even though he was cast out of heaven to elevate his throne above God, he counterfeit all that God does, making bad look good and good look bad, hoping to gain the worship of the world and encourage opposition to God's kingdom and his people. You see, that's the job of Satan. Y'all know Satan is running rapid in this evil world. Evil is a calling card for Satan. Our young boys running up and down the street, killing one another, jacking people, called Satan. Because they have allowed Satan to get in their mind and make them believe what is right is wrong and it's all right. And it guides them to lean to their own understanding, and it prompts them to do anything that seems right in their eyes. Satan is the ultimate source behind all of this. Satan will do anything and everything in his limited power to oppose God. And he's still trying to get the people to follow him. And even if you're saved, he's not going to stop, because he's looking for one day, I say saved, but, you know, if you're straddling a fence and you maybe really not born again, haven't truly accepted Christ with your whole heart, he knows it. And he's trying to get you to choose this day who you're going to serve. Revelation states Satan's destiny is sealed, an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. This is not to say that he rules the world completely. God is still sovereign. But it does mean that God, in his infinite wisdom, has allowed Satan to operate in this world within the boundaries that God has set for him. Y'all remember Job? When Satan got ready to attack Job, wanted to test Job. You saw every time he wanted to do something to Job, he went to God. Come on now. And when God had said what he could do and not a drop more, and when that didn't get him the results that he wanted, you could imagine that he walked away, because in the book of Job, he's not mentioned again. Hallelujah. When the Bible says Satan has power, we got to remember that God has given him domain over the unbelievers only. Because you see, we as believers no longer under the rule of Satan. Jesus accomplished that on the cross for us. Sin no longer has any power over us, and nor does Satan. But you see, unbelievers, on the other hand, are caught up in the snares of the devil. Satan set the agenda, and unbelievers and the unbelieving world follows. Y'all know, just let's be real. One time I told a lady that Satan was the prince of the air. Oh, and she went ballistic on me. But you got to really realize all these shooting and raping and killing and wars and rumors of war, you think that's God? That's the influence of Satan in the hearts of the minds of the people. See, Satan set the agenda, and the unbelieving world follows. Look at our White House. Look at our Congress. Look at our Senate. Hallelujah. Look at some of our churches. Look at some of the religions. And man kind continue to be deceived. It is no wonder that the scripture calls Satan a liar. We're going to go into the scriptures now. Remember, we're in the second chapter, the second book of Corinthians, the 10th verse. And I'm going to start at verse 3, and I'm going to read 3 and 4. The scriptures say, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God by the pulling down of strongholds. It said we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. And it's telling us it's a battle, and our weapons are not carnal. Carnal is worldly and fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, the scripture is saying that even though we live in this fleshly body, we do not fight according to the world's standards, which is described in the Bible as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. We are always told we are in this world, but we're not of this world. And as long as we live in this body, I like to call it a flesh suit, y'all, where sin dwells, we will crave fleshly things. That's going to happen to Jesus come back. Why do you think when Jesus come back and he say, when he come and he gets us, we're going to take off the corruptible and put on incorruptible? When someone die and go in the ground, in the grave or the mausoleum, or even to the crematory, first thing get rid of is the flesh. Think about that. But as long as we have this flesh on our body, it's going to want the things of the flesh. Even wanting food is a flesh thing. Come on, y'all. When you want the desserts, you're satisfying your flesh. And so many other things, because we live in a flesh body. Oh, but while our spirit yearn the things of God, which are spiritual. You see, Galatians 5:16 and 17 say, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are in contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Paul talks about that too. He said, you know, Paul was sold out, and he wanted to please God with everything. He said, but sometimes the things he want to do, he don't do, and sometimes he find himself doing things that he don't want to do, but he find himself doing it. But he said, oh, not me as much as the flesh. Come on, y'all. The flesh that is upon me. But there's a war going on between the flesh and our spirit, and it's taking place every second of our lives. The war is fought in the boardrooms of our mind. You see, our mind is either talking us into doing something or talking us out of doing something, good or bad. Y'all know that. You know how your mind will play tricks on you. Proverbs 23:7 say, so a man thinketh, so is he. Now, our weapons are not carnal, the scripture says, because God has equipped us with everything necessary to live a righteous life and enabling us to walk in the spirit. You see, God knew it was going to be a battle and a struggle. Don't ever think God don't know. God knows everything. And if God thought anyone could tame the flesh, his son wouldn't have had to die on the cross in Calvary. You see, once we accept Christ, we receive through the Spirit. And Galatians 22 explains the fruit of the Spirit is love. See, that we was in 12 with that when we accepted Christ and the Holy Ghost came and lived with us. And he brought in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and meekness, and faith. Temperance, against there is no such law. And they that are in Christ are crucified, the flesh, and the affliction and lust. We live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. See, God has given us stuff to be able to deal with this flesh and be the best that we can be. And even though that's hard, and I spoke about a war going on daily between the flesh and the Spirit, and everybody may not agree with me, but it appears to me that sometimes the flesh wins and sometimes the Spirit wins. Because we're growing daily. The Holy Ghost is constantly working with us to help us to be better today than we were yesterday. The Holy Ghost is what allow us to have, what to be able to say some of the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Because we are growing and we learning to walk more in the Spirit and less of the flesh. Glory, hallelujah. And then God has equipped us with the whole armor of God to make us war ready to tear down the walls of strongholds. You see, a stronghold is something that has a stronghold on you. Satan has a way of making everything that good look bad and everything that's bad look good. I'll see how they get up on TV, and I mean on TV, and tell a lie and twist the truth. And many people believe it. Prime example, Donald Trump, still lying and conniving and doing all kind of things, and yet he have a great following. A great many followers, even now, today. And they have to take him serious for an election, which many of us couldn't believe the first time that he won. But that just goes to show you the influence of Satan, because he did. Look around the world that we live in today. Anything and everything goes. And people are accepting it more and more. We have the victory in Christ Jesus if we keep our mind on him. Matthew 6 and 24 saying, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. So I encourage us tonight, and I didn't say y'all, but us, to stop straddling the fence. Stop compromising our faith by trying to mix the flesh with the Spirit and make it be all right. Choose God today, y'all, so that we may win. If we look at the scripture 5, the verse 5, it tells us to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And it's telling us to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Talking about that imagination. You see, our imagination will play tricks on us, and strongholds are formed in our imagination. Imagination is an act of power of forming mental images of what is not actually present. I'm going to say that again. Imagination is an act of power of forming mental images of what is not actually present. You have to imagine it because you can't see it. If you can see it, you don't need to imagine. Are things that may never even be experienced. Everything you have in your mind and you imagine, and you know, with your imagination always comes true and it ain't always real. You see, we must ask God to give us the spirit of discernment. And I want you to know that imagination is a counterpart of faith. Come on, y'all. You see, the Word of God provides us evidence that should help us to control our thoughts and imagination. The Word of God just informed us. Cast it down. If it don't line up with God, cast it down. Not right. And you know it ain't right. But you see, many times something come in your imagination, you know it's not right, but sometimes you use your imagination to reform it and to keep playing and tossing and pulling with it till you could accept that it's all right, because you done used your imagination to create something that is wrong to appear right. You see, Satan's playground is located in the corner of our mind. Satan can only place the thought trying to exalt himself against the knowledge of God. But I come to tell all of us tonight, a thought in and of itself is not the problem. Get this, in and of itself is not the problem. But what you do with the thought, once you receive it, can be a problem. Many times we use our imagination to form assumptions. You see, an assumption is a thing that is accepted as true or as certain to happen without proof. You know, they have some assuming people. Well, I assume it's going to be at 4 o'clock. No proof. But they get everything they do, every time they talk, it is all assumption, because their imagination then rigged up this assumption way of thinking in their mind, speak what they assume without evidence. Nobody told it to them. They didn't look it up. And usually what happens when people do that, when you come in with a few facts, they're going to still turn everything around. Assumption. Assumption is like opinions, and everybody have them at different times. The scriptures lets us know to cast it down when it don't line up with the Word of God. You see, if we look at Adam and Eve, Satan told Eve a lie. She allowed her imagination to get the best of her. You see, your imagination is the act or power of creating mental images of what has never been actually experienced. She could have cast it down. She knew what God had said. And he began to do his tricks. She let her imagination run wild. She could have cast it down, but she didn't. She accepted it. So she ate some and gave some to Adam. And we all know the rest is history. Come on now. We could look at another thing in the Bible. When God told Sarah and Abraham that they would conceive a child, they thought that God was taking too long and allowed their imagination to play tricks on them. They took matters in their own hand and Satan was telling them that it was all right and that God may be lying. You've been waiting so long, and what difference will it make? That slave belonged to you, Sarah. And if you agree to let your husband be with her, what is the problem? Well, remember, Ishmael was born of the flesh, and Isaac was born of the promise, and is still causing havoc in Jerusalem and all other parts in the Middle East today. You see, if your thoughts and imagination do not line up with the word of God, run from it. Cast it down immediately, because if you allow it to have free space in your head, it will be harder to evict. You know, some things been in our mind, right or wrong, good or bad, for so long, you know, it's there and it just become a part of us. You see, your thoughts now believe that they have squatter's rights. I guess that would be an example like with an addiction. You know, after a while you stop questioning, you know, until you maybe want to make a change. It becomes a habit. You wake up one morning and say, how did I get here? Because I'm doing things that I never thought I would. So you might ask the question, why God gave man an imagination? You see, there's only two ways for a human to see something. You can only see it through your eyes or by your imagination. All human progress has been born out of their imagination to see things differently than they are. It's how people create, how people, you know, invent with imagination, because they're assuming and they're imagining something that's not there. Imagination, if used for righteousness' sake, is a good thing. But when you allow your imagination to play tricks on you, it could destroy you in many cases. We got to remember that the development of imagination is the first step towards faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And we have to imagine God and begin to trust him through faith. You see, without an imagination, how could we see God in our mind? Come on, y'all. How could we read the word of God about the rapture and see Jesus in the air? How could we see the pearly gates or the streets paved with gold? Your imagination. Glory, hallelujah. How could we see the Red Sea divided into two and the children of Israel walking across the dry land? Imagination. How could we imagine the suffering of Christ and then see his resurrected body? Our imagination. Here we see that our imagination is, first of all, needed. Come on, y'all. We must learn to line it up with the word of God so that we will just do the right things, because it's the right things to do. So tonight I encourage all of us to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our imagination. Ask God for the spirit of discernment. So that we can know the things of God, and not only know them, but become doers of them, that we may grow, hallelujah, into the intended purpose that God has for us. We have to trick the devil, because he is a liar. He's full of evil, deceit, accuser, slander. He's even a murderer. And I had to look that up and see why they say that, because I know Satan don't have the power to murder us. Because if Satan had the power to be able to take us out, y'all, so many of us would be gone, and we would have been gone because he would have got us before we was saved. Come on now. If he could have got us, killed us, or whatever, he'd have did it a long time ago. Because I saw plenty of times, I think I tell the devil in a minute, if you didn't get me while I was out there, you sure can't get me now. But the devil is real. And he is seeking whom he may devour. But he is a liar. And God has equipped us, as the scripture said, for battles. God took time to let us know about the imagination and that there are strongholds. Those are the things that has a stronghold on us. But he has equipped us with everything we need to live a righteous life and fight a righteous battle. When they say our warfare is not carnal, they're saying, you know, the lady cuts you out, so you're going to use the world standards and go back and cuss out. The Bible says pray for those who spitefully use you. Come on, y'all. You got mad with somebody and you don't want to forgive them. Carnal weapon, unforgiveness. Cheating, greed. You want to get something, so you're going to decide to cheat to get it and be greedy and do things that's not lining up with the word of God to get it. Carnal, fleshy, but God has given us his word. He has let his son die for our sins. And he is allowing his spirit to be indwelled in us just to help us in our journey here on earth. And he's also provided a kingdom of God here on earth, a spiritual realm believers could be connected and do what he's asked us to do. Especially for those in the household of faith, but he said for everybody. So let us just remember Satan is real. He does have power, but he don't have any power over the believers. He can't heal. He don't have nothing but what you give him. And that's a fact. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns? Call us. Your number is 504-510. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 510-0291. Your mic is open.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm so glad. I'm so thankful to God for you, Minister Diane. Also for the young lady that prays us in to our lessons each and every Bible study, as well as prays us out. You know, this message was anointed. You must have really, you know, studied this lesson on imagination. It really opened my eyes to a lot of truth, especially with it being a contemporary of faith, how it ties into faith. But I really got a lot out of this message tonight.
Thank you, my brother. Who's speaking?
This is Terry.
All right, Brother Terry Hammond. Thank you for pressing the one button, because it's so good when I could hear people on the line. You know, it's just good. And I thank you for sharing that with me. Thank you, my brother.
You're welcome.
Anyone else have anything they would like to say? Well, if nothing else is needed to be said, no one has anything they would like to share. Okay, call them. Your number is 504-715-46. Your mic is open.
Just want to sing a song.
Praise God.
Believe us. The thief comes to steal. The murderer comes to kill. But Jesus came that I might live. You see, Satan will destroy. He'll try to rob your joy. But Jesus came that I might live. Get away, Satan. Tell him, get away from my door. Get away, Satan. You don't live here anymore. Jesus promised me a brand new life, one without pain or price. He's the giver. He gives life. He came that I might live. The thief comes to steal. The murderer comes to kill. But Jesus came that we might live. Satan comes to destroy. He'll try to steal our joy. But Jesus came that we might live. Tell the devil, get away, Satan. Get away from my door. Get away, Satan. You don't live here anymore. Jesus promised me a brand new life, one without pain or strife. He's the giver. He gives life. He's the giver. He gives life. He came that we might live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much. That was Minister Elyria Mackey calling in from Boothville, Louisiana. We thank you for that beautiful song, and it was so appropriate for our lesson. And I thank you. I thank you so much.
You're welcome. He's the giver. He gives life. He came that we might live.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? At this time, we could have our benediction. And Sister Pam, your mic is open, and you could come to us anywhere that God is leading you at this time.
Thank you, Minister Mackey, for that beautiful, beautiful song. Benediction tonight is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen, my sister. Again, I thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we have reached the time when we get ready to depart. But I thank God for each and every one of you. And if it's your will, if it's your desire, and if it's God's will, we'll be able to come back on next week. So until then, I pray that God bless each and every one of you, your families, your household, your neighborhood, your city, your state, and even the country. Because we have people that's listening. We have a lot of places in Africa where the people are listening to the program. And I just want to say to you, thank you. And it's not just Africa, other countries around the world, but anybody who takes time and come to this program, I'm asking that God bless each and every one of us. And let us realize that he is over what we are doing. And he's pleased, evidently, because we've been here over 12 years on Wednesday night. And God is still allowing it. And we say thank you. And I thank each and every one of you. But I pray that we all go in peace. And the love of God bless each and every one of us real good. Good night.